This book tells a history with four women philosophers and their friendship at its centre. Mary Midgley, née Scruton, Iris Murdoch, Elizabeth Anscombe and Philippa Foote, née Bosanquet, came of age during some of the most tumultuous events of the 20th century. Born just after the First World War, they began their philosophical studies at Oxford University shortly after Hitler's troops entered Austria. In fact, Mary was staying in Vienna when the troops arrived. She had embarked on a trip to improve her German before going up to college, reassured by her schoolteacher that the trouble in Europe would blow over. She returned home after signs went up in the shop windows. "If you come in here as a true German, let your greeting be Heil Hitler." The events that unfolded over the coming years would change the human scene. Nazism, the Holocaust, total war, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This generation was brought face to face with acts of depravity and disorder that those who lived before them would hardly have thought possible. Iris Murdoch observed that French and British philosophers seemed to respond very differently to post-Nazi reality. The French experience of occupation infused French post-war philosophy and literature, while Jean-Paul Sartre's philosophy explored the moral and political implications of freedom and attempted to understand whether authenticity and sincerity were possible for those who had lived through Vichy France. The British had suffered no such crisis. Instead, in 1945, Oxford's men returned from their war work, rolled up their sleeves, and picked up where they had left off. The task that the young men had begun before the interruption of the war was a bold one: to kill off the subject formerly known as philosophy and to replace it with a new set of logical, analytic, and scientific methods known as logical positivism. Speculative metaphysical inquiry, the pursuit of knowledge of human nature, morality, God, reality, truth, and beauty, was to give way to clarification and linguistic analysis in the service of science. The only questions permitted were those that could be answered by empirical methods. What is the meaning of human life? How ought we to live? Does God exist? Is time real? What is truth? What is beauty? Metaphysical questions like these go beyond the limits of what we can measure and observe, and so they were designated nonsense. Banished, too, was the old philosophical picture of man as a spiritual creature whose life is oriented toward God or the good, and for whom philosophy is the attempt to contemplate the fundamental structure of reality. In its stead, a vision of human beings as efficient calculating machines, individuals whose intellectual powers enable them to move beyond their messy animal nature so as to organize and rationalize an otherwise brute and formless world. It was declared that there were no genuine philosophical problems. Questions that were not amenable to scientific investigation were embarrassing muddles or linguistic confusions. Had it not been for the interruption of war, Mary, Iris, Elizabeth, and Philippa may well have joined the men in the effort to usher in the brave new world of a philosophy divested of poetry, mystery, spirit, and metaphysics. Or more likely, they would have finished their degrees and left philosophy behind them, convinced, as so many young women still are, that the subject was not for them. What happened instead was that the young men and the big beasts of British philosophy, A.J. Ayer, Gilbert Ryle, and J.L. Austin, were uprooted from Oxford and replanted in Whitehall and the War Office. Our four friends were left behind to finish their degrees in a disrupted Oxford, full of evacuees from London and refugees from Europe, and philosophy began to come back to life. The old metaphysicians were free once again to speak of poetry, transcendence, wisdom, and truth. The conscientious objectors asked what God and duty required of them. The refugee academics, speaking in a language that was not their own, shared scholarship and learning of a kind Oxford had never seen before. And the women, no longer in classrooms full of clever young men who liked winning arguments, turned their attention, together, onto the world. They were interested in the reality that surrounds man, transcendent or whatever, said Iris. And they had questions, lots of them. This is how it was that these four women learnt to see philosophy as they did, as an ancient form of human inquiry, kept alive through thousands of years of conversation, the task of which is to help us, collectively, to find our way about in a vast reality that transcends any one of us. When the young men returned from war, with their analytic methods and their disdain for mystery and metaphysics, our four friends were ready with a joint no.